Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Pe'amim Sheshnehem Bechatat, Pe'amim Sheshnehem Be'asham, Pe'amim Sheshasocher Bechatat Vashuel Be'asham, Pe'amim Sheshasocher Be'asham Vashuel Bechatat. Severe statement from Rabbi Yirmiya, which the Gemara is about to clarify, but relates to our Mishnah, a case where you have a socher, a renter, who then lends it out to a shoel. And the question is that if they lie in their situations and don't tell the truth, what type of obligations do they have in terms of korbanot? The basic principle is laid out here by the Gemara now, which is haketzat, kfirat mamon asham, bitui sfatayim chatat. If a person takes a shvuah that denies a monetary obligation, then they're chayav in an asham gzelot. If, on the other hand, they take a shvuah in which they lie under oath, but it's not a denial of money, then they are chayav a chatat. It's really a korban ole v'yored, which is a korban that is just by the economic means of the individual. But that is a korban chatat that is brought for what we call shvuat bitui or shvuat bitui sfatayim. When a person takes a shvuah that is problematic, either because they take the shvuah and violate the shvuah, or because their shvuah is incorrect at the time that they take the shvuah. A shvuat Firat Mamon, a shvuah that denies a monetary obligation, that makes one chayav in an asham. So now the Gemara is going to explain. Pi'amim sheshneim bechatat. Where is an instance where both of them are chayav bechatat? Kugum. Shemeta kedarka. The animal died a normal death. Ve'amru nensa. And the socher and the shoel both lie and take a shvuah that it died of accidental means, not of a natural death, but something happened to the animal. Socher, as far as the renter is concerned, the ben kach or ben kach miftar patur, whether he claims that it died naturally, or whether he claims that it died because of some unforeseen circumstance, in either case, he is patur. There's no obligation. So his lying brings him no monetary benefit. It's simply that he is lying under oath. Therefore, bechatat, he brings a korban olev yoreid for shviat bitui. Shoel, as far as the borrower is concerned, the ben kach or ben kach chiyuve mechayiv. Irrespective of which claim he makes here, he is chayav. Whether it died by natural means in his possession, or whether it died because of some unforeseen circumstance, a shoel is chayav in everything, including on sin. So therefore, he is also bechatat. So they both lied under oath, but their lying brought them no monetary benefit. And so therefore they are both in violation of shvat bitui, and they're chayav a korban olev v'yored. Pe'amim sheshnehem be'asham. There are some times where both of them are obligated in a korban asham, kagom. Shenigneva. It was stolen. That's what happened in truth. V'amru meita machmat melacha. But then they go ahead and lie and say that it died while it was working. Ditarvayu kakafre mimona. They are both denying a monetary obligation. Daha mechayve, because they are both chayav, vikapatre nafshayu. And they are releasing themselves from that obligation, and therefore they are chayav in an asham. In this case, gneva is socher, is a machloket as whether he is a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam. What's clear from the Gemara here is that the Gemara here believes that he is like a shomer sachar and chayav in gneva. Tosfot writes, mikan yesh lo chiyach talocha kiman damar to socher kishomer sachar dami. From here you can see this Gemara and other Gemaras that the Stam Gemara seems to believe that a socher has a din like a shomer sachar and therefore he is chayav in gneva. So now, as far as the socher is concerned, if he told the truth and said it was stolen, he'd be responsible and have to pay for it. The shoel as well. If he takes responsibility for it and says it was stolen, he will have to pay for it. Instead, they both lie under oath and say that it was meita machmat milacha, that it died while it was working. And that is a tour both for the socher and for the shoel. It's the only instance where a shoel is patur. Now, both the socher and the shoel are making a claim that releases them from the monetary obligation they would otherwise have. So therefore, they are both chayav and asham gezela because of the fact that they denied a monetary obligation under oath. And that obligates you in an asham. Now, what's interesting here is, if you remember from the Mishnah, the socher is paying the balim, and the Shoel is paying the Socher. Over here, the Shoel is taking a Shvu'ad that it made the Machmat Melacha, and the Socher is corroborating his story, saying that it was made the Machmat Melacha. So then why should the Shoel be Chayav anything over here? The Socher agrees with what he said. What you have to suggest here is that the cases or the situations are independent. I mean, each one of them is taking an independent shvua. It's not that the Socher and Shoel are found at the same time and the Socher is backing up the Shoel's claim. Otherwise, maybe the Shoel should really be patur because he's making a claim that the Socher says is true and therefore he shouldn't be chayav. He's doing it to release himself from the balim, but in the same vein, the fact that he says it and that corroborates what the Shoel says, maybe the Shoel should be off the hook. Which is interesting. You have to say that they're in separate situations, and therefore you can't correlate the two. Now, Socher b'chatat v'shoel b'asham, the case where the Socher is going to bring a Kurban Olevi or Eid, and the Shoel is going to bring an Hashem Gzilot, kagom. Shemeita kidarka. It died a natural death. Ve'amru meita machmat milacha. And instead, they take a shvua that it died, machmat milacha. Socher, the benkach u'benkach miftar patur, for the Socher it makes no difference. Whether it died a natural death or died while it was doing work, he doesn't have any responsibilities to the Balim. Therefore, he's chayav b'chatat. He has to bring a korban olevi, right? Because he's lying under oath with no monetary benefit. The Shoel, d'mechayev b'meita kedarka, had he told the truth, they would have been responsible and had to pay. B'kapatar nafshei b'meita machmat melacha. Now again, he's releasing himself from that obligation by saying it died while it was working, and therefore he is chayav b'asham. And again, the same statement I made before, here you have, again, the Socher backing up what the Shoel says. So you have to separate between the cases. Otherwise, truthfully, the Shoel should not be chayav because the Socher agrees that it is made to machman melacha. Socher b'asham b'shoel b'chatat. Socher is chayav in Hashem gzelot, and the Shoel is chayav b'chatat korban olevi orei. Kagon, shenigneva. It was really stolen. V'amru meita kedarka. Instead, they said that it died a natural death. Socher hu d'mechayev b'gneva v'avida. Socher, again, assuming that the Socher is a Shomer Sachar, that means that he's chayav for Geneva and Aveda, he would be obligated in this case. And when he takes a Shvua, that it died a natural death, he's releasing himself from that obligation. So therefore, Be'asham, he has to bring a Korban, Asham Gzelot. Shoel, the Benkach, or Benkach, Yuvei Mechayev, the Shoel, it's irrespective of whether you say it's Geneva or Meita Kedarka, he would have to pay for it anyway. Therefore, he brings a chatat, a korban, ole v'yoreid, because he's lying under oath with no monetary benefit. Mar says, my kamashmalan. What did that teach us? Yes, there were all these permutations, but all of them are obvious. There's no chiddush in any of the permutations. It's very clear what the principle is. If you lie under oath for monetary benefit, you bring in an asham gzelot. If you lie under oath without any monetary benefit, that's a problem of shvat bitoy. You're going to bring a korban, ole v'yoreid. And all the Gemara did was go through all the different permutations and show you what the possibilities are. But did it teach you anything that you wouldn't have been able to come to on your own? The answer is, lafuke mid Rabbi Ami. Comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Ami, damar. Kol shvua shedayanim mashbim ota in chayavin alei mishum shvuat bitui. He says that any shvua which is dictated or demanded by the dayanim, there is no din of shvuat bitui. Because in the Parshia of Shvat Bitui, in the end of Parshat Vayikra, it says, O Nefesh, Kiti Shava, Levatei Svataim. Or an individual who takes an oath, an expression, there the pasuk continues, Lahara Lu'itiv, to do bad or do good, which we'll see when we get to the Gemara and Shvuot, is interpreted to mean both for the past and for the future. So then, Rabbi Ami says that the meaning of the pasuk is ki tishava, when you take a shvua. That implies me'atzma, voluntarily taking a shvua. So kamashvalon deloki Rabbi Ami. From here you see that this whole memra shows you that Rabbi Ami is wrong, or we are taking a stand against Rabbi Ami's position, which is that shvat bitui doesn't apply within the court setting. And over here, we're saying that it does apply within the court setting. Even though over here, technically, the shvuot are not necessarily demanded by the dayanim. These are shvuat ha-shomrim. But maybe you have to say that he has to take a shvuah sheno birshuto, meaning that the dayanim do demand shvuot over here, even independent of the shvuah which he's giving to the balabait, which he's voluntarily saying, listen, I'm telling the truth, this is the shvuah. even in that case, Ishwa to Shomrim requires Ishwa Sheinu Bershuto, which we saw from Rav Huna previously. So there also you have a Shvu'ah that is demanded by the Dayanim, or in the context of the Dayanim, and therefore it would not be covered by what Rabbi Yami says, Shvu'at Bitoy. We are saying it does. Tosfot points out that it also could be the Afuke Shmuel. Shmuel believes that any Shvu'ah that cannot have a manifestation both in the past and in the future is not subject to Shvu'at Bitoy. A Shvu'at Bitoy is, for instance, a person takes a Shvu'ah that something happened in the past, and they are lying about what happened in the past. Or, they take a shvuah in the future that they will do something, and they don't execute, they don't do it. That's a shvuah that has manifestations both in the past and the future. There are shvuot that don't have manifestations in the past and the future. For instance, if a person takes a shvuah that so-and-so threw something into the ocean, so as far as the past is concerned, he can take a shvuah, because he has knowledge of what happened or didn't happen, and he could be lying or not lying. Whereas in the future, he can't take a shvuah that so-and-so will throw something into the ocean because he has no control over that situation. So he can't take a shvuah to that effect. That's a failure of past and future. Shmuel says if you have a failure where the shvuah can't have a manifestation both in the past and the future, it's not shvuah bitoy. So Tosfot points out that this is another example of that. A shvuah that you take about what happened to the animal, meita kedarka, meita machmat melacha, nignav, all of those shvuot are only things that you could say in the past tense. You can't say in the future tense. You can't say the animal will be stolen. The animal will die. I mean, those are shvuot that you have no control over as far as the future is concerned, and therefore you can't take such a shvuah about the future. The Tosfot says it's a failure of that requirement of both the past and future, and therefore the Gemara, he says, could have also said that it's lafuke, the position of Shmuel. Because over here, all these shvuot would not be subject to shvuat bitui, according to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Kamash malan deroker Rabbi Yami. So therefore we see that the Gemara is concluding not like Rabbi Yami. So Itmar, now we move on to a new topic, the topic that really comes out of our Mishnah, which is Shomer, Samasar, Lishomer. When you have a Shomer that passes on the object to another Shomer, is that allowed? So we have a machloket here, which is Rav Amar Patur. Rav says, that's fine. Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav, and Rav Yochanan says, you are Chayav. Amar Abayi. The Tani de Rav, according to Rav's reasoning, Lo mi boye shomer chinam, shemasar the shomer sachar. I'm not only speaking in a case where a shomer chinam gave it to a shomer sachar. De iluyei aliyei lishmirato. He upgraded the shmira. We're not even talking about just the monetary obligations that come, meaning that a Shomer Sechar is Chayav in more things than a Shomer Chinam. So that's to the benefit of the Balim. But we're assuming that when someone gets paid, they do a qualitatively better job at watching it than a Shomer Chinam who's doing it for free. So the assumption is, even if you raised qualitatively the Shmirah here, you are Patur. Ela afilu Shomer Sechar Shemaser the Shomer Chinam. Even in an instance where Shomer Sechar gave it to a Shomer Chinam, Degruei Gara L'Shmirato, he downgraded the Shmira, Patur. So what he's saying is Rav's position is irrespective of the qualitative change in the Shmira. It's whether you upgraded the Shmira and you got the Balim more payouts in different scenarios, plus you gave him a better qualitative Shmira, or vice versa, when you downgraded the Shmira, so he gets paid in less scenarios, and on top of that, the Shmira might be qualitatively less. You are Patur. My Taima, the reason being, Damasra the Bendat. He gave it over to someone who is responsible. And if he gave it over to a responsible party, that's a fair thing for a Shomer to do, to give it over to another responsible party. As to the reason why you are Patur, according to Rav, for Shomer, Shemasa the Shomer, Tosafot over here writes, even though we find in the Gemara and Gittin that if you instruct someone to take a particular object on your behalf, that they don't have a right to pass it to someone else, nevertheless, if they do pass it to someone else, they're not called a posheya for doing such. And that's what the Balei HaTosafot say, that even though it may be a sur for a shomer to be moser to another shomer, but if you do that, you're not called a posheya, you're not negligent in doing so, and that would not generate an obligation because of your doing such. And Rashi says something very similar, and he says, Rav Amar Patur mikol mashia niftar im shamrahu atzmo. He would be patur for anything that if it was in his possession, he'd be patur. He continues to be patur even when it's handed over to the second shomer. And later on, Rashi says, "V'ein lechalumar pshia hishu shemaster lecher." It's not called a pshia when you hand it over to the other party. So the main chiddush of Rav is that you're not considered to be negligent. Since you're not negligent, it doesn't bring with it the chiyuvim of negligence. On the other hand, you are obligated to all the requisite obligations that you accepted at the time that you became a shomer. And that means if you're a shomer sachar and you give it to a shomer chinam, you would still be chayav for gneva v'aveda. And vice versa, if you're a shomer chinam, they give it to a shomer sachar, you would remain patur. And if the second shomer was posheya, negligent, then you, as a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, would have been chayav for that pshia, and you remained chayav for that pshia. And the Rashba actually says that that explanation of Rashi and Tosafot is actually the Iker Machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. That Rav says that when you're Shomer Shemesh of the Shomer, you're not supposed to do it, but you are not classified as a Posheya. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan classifies you as a Posheya when you do pass it on to the other party, and we're going to see that upcoming in the Tosafot. The Ramban, on the other hand, views Shomer Shemesh of the Shomer, according to Rav, as you getting someone to be Mimalei Mikomo. It's as if you appointed someone to replace you as the Shomer. And therefore, anything that the second Shomer is chayav for, the first Shomer would be patur, because the second Shomer has to take care of it as the replacement for the first Shomer. Since he is chayav, then the first Shomer will be patur. But the Ramban notes that if there is something that the second Shomer is patur from, then the first Shomer will become chayav for that if the Shomer doesn't cover it. So for instance, if it's a Shomer Sachar that passes it to a Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Chinam is not chayav on Gneva V'Aveda. He's patur. Then the first Shomer will be on the hook to pay for that Gneva V'Aveda, because the second Shomer can't fill in for him in that capacity. So that's how the Ramban explains the Shomer Shemasa, the Shomer is patur. There is a view that is brought by the Ritva and the Meiri that Shomer Shemasa, the Shomer, according to Rav, is patur, is because the other Shomer now becomes your replacement fully. Not like the Ramban says, where you still have residual obligations if the second Shomer doesn't cover it, but rather, you are giving it over, and now he becomes the new Shomer on the item, and the relationship is really between the Baal and the new Shomer, because you gave it over to a bardat, you did something responsible handing it to another responsible party, and therefore you're out of the picture now, and all the obligations solely devolve upon the second shomer vis-a-vis the baalim.
Ulatamei de Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning that you are chayav in that case, lo mi baye shomer sachar shemaser de shomer chinam, de grue gara de shmirato. That's not only in a scenario where the Shomer Sachar gave it to Shomer Chinam and he downgraded the Shmirah, which you would think maybe he should be responsible for, even if it's a Shomer Chinam that gave it to a Shomer Sachar and the Luyei Aliyei Lishmirato, he upgraded the Shmirah, both in terms of the obligations as well as the qualitative state of the Shmirah, nevertheless, Chayav. Reason being, Damalei, Ein Ritzoni, Shehei Pikdoni, Biyad Acher. I don't want my possession to be with someone else. I gave it to you because I want you to take care of it. I don't want someone else to take care of it. Then what does that mean in terms of when the Shomer is Masar to another Shomer? What is the failure in that case? What did he do wrong? So the Baalei HaTosafot say, Ein Lefaresh. Don't explain this way. The time of the Chayav, the Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba de Abaye, the reason that Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayav, according to Abaye's explanation here, Mishum deshina midata mafkid. You changed the instructions of the person who deposited with you. Kach itchayev b'cholon sin. Therefore, you'll be chayav in everything, or, in essence, what you did was you abrogated the relationship or the your shlichut by giving over to another party. He instructed you, he made you into a proxy to watch it on his behalf. And here, you violated his instructions, and by doing so, you terminated the relationship, and then you became a gazlan on the item. We know that when you're in a gazlan on the item, you are responsible for everything, including onsin. So Tosfot says, don't say that. Now you know, when Tosfot says, don't say that, that means that somebody else did say that, and he's trying to say no. And that is the Rif and others believe over here, that the failure is a failure of shlichut. It is that you do not follow the instructions of the Baalim, and in doing so, you become a gazlan, and in becoming a gazlan, you're chayav b'chol onsin. It doesn't matter what happens to this animal anymore, or whatever object it is, you're going to be responsible because you now became a gazlan. Tosafot offers the other alternative, which is, He says it's if he explicitly said to him when he gave him the object, Shim yishane midato, if he does differently than the instructions that were given to him, kigon shim serena lacher, he gives it over to a third party, shiakilu pashaba, it'll be the equivalent of him being negligent with the item. V'chol unsin shirula shenuchal litzlot, any item, whether it's ones, accidental, not foreseen item that happens that we can connect back. Shimlo masrel acher shleya ne'arim chayav. Had he not given over to the other parties, they would not have happened. Then he will be responsible. It is what otherwise is known in the legal parlance as but-for causation, which means that had it not been for what you did, it would not have happened. So what Tosafot does is limits the liability of the individual to responsibilities that stem from his action. If something happens to the animal because of his action, then he will be responsible for it. But if it's something that happens to the animal that would have happened irrespective of his being in possession of it or the next shomer being in possession of it, then we would say that he's not chayav, as opposed to the rif, who's going to say you're chayav in all these instances. Doesn't matter what the onus is, because you're a gazlan. So the difference between Tosafot and the rif is how much causal connection do we need between that which transpired in the end and your action of giving it over to the other shomer. So, for instance, if the animal is sick and it dies from that sickness, irrespective of the environmental elements, then you could argue that, according to the rif, you'd be chayav, because you're chayav in alonsin, you're a gazlan. For the Tosafot, you'd be patur, because there's no causal effect. You're giving it to the other party is not what caused it to die. It died because it had its own issues. It was ill, the animal, or there was something wrong with the animal, and it would have died in the house of the first shomer or the second shomer. You could argue, and if the situation is that the environmental elements caused the problem, for instance, that the air quality in the first person's house is much better than the second person's house, or at least you could claim that, then you could argue that him giving it to the other shomer was the proximate cause for the fact that it died. In that case, Tosafot will say you are chayav. But those are two models, according to Abai's explanation, for why you're chayav in shomer, shemash, other shomer. Are you classified as a gazlan, and therefore responsible for all onsin? Or is it that you are violating the instructions of the mafkid, which is that we say implicitly when he gave it to you, he indicated that if you give it to someone else, you're a posheya, you're negligent. Once you're a posheya, now we have to look. Did your pshia, is your negligence the proximate cause for whatever happened afterwards? If it is, then you are chayav. If it's not, you are patur. And Tosafot goes out of his way to show that this is irrespective of a machloket we're going to see later. Today's daf, and then later in the Masechta of Tchilato b'shia b'sofu bones. We have a machloket. When you have Tchilato b'shia b'sofu bones, so you patur a chayav, he says this is independent of that. This has nothing to do with the Tchilato b'shia b'sofu bones, but rather has to do with this idea of proximate cause. That if we can assign the problem to the action that you took, you are going to be chayav irrespective of the opinion. And if we can't connect between you and the problem that happened in the end, then you're going to be patur irrespective of the position that you have with tchilato b'fshia b'sofa bonus. All right, now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chista, had the Rav la b'feirush itmar. This position of Rav was never explicitly said. Ela michlala. It came out of an inference from a case that took place. Danu ginai, there were these gardeners, they used to deposit at the end of the day their work tools, their spades. They used to leave them by this particular older woman who took care of them for them. So every day at the end of their work day, they used to leave it with her, come back the next day and take them back from her. One day, instead of giving it to this older woman, they gave it to one of the workers. One of the workers said, you know what, I'm going home, I'll take him home with me. And he was responsible for them on that day. On his way home, or when he was at home, Shema Kala Behilula, he heard there was a party going on. The Behilula is usually a wedding. He heard there was a big celebration. Nafak Azal, he wanted to join the party. So he goes out, Vafkidinu Lagabe Hayisafta. He deposited them with that woman who they normally gave the tools to. Ada Azovato, after he went to the party and returned from his merrymaking, Ignov Marayu. They were stolen from the older woman. The spades were stolen. Ata the Kamei Darav, he came before Rav Upatre. and he says you are exempt. You don't have responsibility over here. Man dechaza, the Talmidim who saw the outcome of this case said, Savar mishum shomer shemaso de shomer patur. They thought the reason behind his position is because the worker who took responsibility for the spades on that day, then handed them to the woman, is a shomer, shemasar de shomer. And so the person concluded that Rav must believe shomer shemasar de shomer is patur. Velohi, that is not the reasoning behind Rav's psak. Shiny hotam. Over there you could understand why the case is completely different. These individuals used to deposit their spades with this woman every day. So the claim of Ein Ritzoni She Piktoni B'Yad Acher, that I don't want my object to be with this other party, doesn't hold true over here because they used to give it every day to this woman. It was just on this day they didn't. That means that they do trust this woman, and it means that you can't argue that we wouldn't otherwise give it to this woman. The truth is they gave it every day. So the patur came not because necessarily shomer shemasar de shomer is patur, because in this unique circumstances, the second shomer was just as reliable to the parties as the first shomer. And that's why it's not a classic case of shomer shemasar de shomer. So then, obviously, if you believe that, then there's no machloke between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. And of course, then you'd passing like Rabbi Yochanan. Even though in general, Machloket Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we passing like Rabbi Yochanan. Over here, it's not even a question because the Gemara is indicating that Rav doesn't necessarily argue on that position of Rabbi Yochanan. Yotzi Rabbi Ami, v'kamer l'hashmaitzita. He said over this memra of Rabbi Yochanan, Eitve Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel to Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel questioned Rabbi Ami, Secher para michaviro, v'shila l'acher, ar mishnah. Person rents out a para to an individual, and then he lends it to someone else. Umeita kedarka, and it dies a natural death. Yishava socher shemeita kedarka. Socher takes a shvua that it died naturally. Vashuel mishalem the socher, and the shuel pays the socher. Vim ita. If you are right that a shomer shemasa the shomer is chayav, then lemalei ein ritzoni shepikdoni biyad acher. Why can't the Bali make a claim to the Socher? I didn't want my item to be with the Shoel. And now that you gave it to the Shoel, you need to compensate me, or in other words, the Shoel should pay me, not you. Amalei, achamai skinan. The case here is, v'shenatnu lo habalim reshut. Lahashil, the owners gave the individual rights to lend it out. Iachi, lebalim by lishlume. If that's the case, then the socher is acting as a proxy or an intermediary for the balim. He's renting it to this individual, and then he told him, you can lend it out to this person or lend it out to that person. If that's the case, then it's done under the auspices of the balim, and the shoel should have to pay the balim. Why is he paying the socher? Where it says, damulei ledatcha. It's the controlling party is the socher. So since the socher is the controlling party, he didn't say, lend it out to so-and-so. Or, you should lend it now to so-and-so. Rather, he said, you have a right to lend it. Since he gave the socher the right to lend it, when the socher goes out and lends it, he's not violating the terms of their rental agreement. He doesn't violate the terms, then he can't be responsible, or had responsible as a shomer shemasad shomer, because he had permission. So according to the Rif, he's not a gazlan. According to the Bali Tosafot, what we said is implicit here, the Balim overrode and said, I'm okay with you lending it out, and therefore there's no obligation. Meitiv Rabbi Bar Chama. So Rabbi Bar Chama challenged. A mafkin ma'ot etzel chaveiro. Person who deposits money with his friend. Tzoran, he wrapped him up, bundled him up, vishvilam la'achurav, and threw him over his back. Or in other cases, masran libno ubito aktanim. He gave it over to his children who are minors. Vinna'al bivnehem shloki ra'ui. And he did not enclose them or lock them up in a manner which was responsible. Chayav. In those cases, he is responsible. Shalosh shamar kederach hashomrim. Because he didn't do what would be otherwise expected of a guardian in these situations. You don't throw the money over your back and carry it behind you. You have to keep it in front of you so you can see it. You don't hand it over to minors who are not properly enclosed or in a location that is properly enclosed. And so both of those are irresponsible acts, and you are chayav. But you can be medayeg from this. Taima diktanim. The reason you're considered irresponsible here is because you gave it over to minors. Hagdolim patur. If you gave it over to people of age, a bardat, you would be patur. Amai, why should you be patur? Nemalei, ein mutzuni, she piktoni biyad acher. Why don't you make the claim of Yochanan that this is a shomer, shemasar le shomer? So Amar Rava, Rava says, kol mafkid, adat ishto ubanav mafkid. When a person deposits something with an individual, he assumes that it is a family business. You can expect that a person, when you give him property to watch, that his family members will help him out or aid him in this process. The way the Rabbeinu Hananel refers it, it's very interesting. He says, Mishnef gadim etzlo, the banav agdolim ulishto hu mafkid. When a person deposits with an object with a person, he can expect it to give it to his children, to his wife. Dolo adif le mimamona de chavrei midideh. His friend's money is no better than his own money. Umamona didei ishto banav neturile. And his own possessions and his own money, his children and his wife take care of. So therefore, if he does that with his own possessions, then you can expect if you deposit something with him, he's going to do the same thing with your possessions. And it's considered to be normal or expected, and therefore it's not deemed to be shomer, shemasar leshomer, but rather a part and parcel of the original deposit. Amrei naradai, dekanami. You can actually even midayek this from the case that we brought. Diktani, o shemasran livno ubito aktanim chayav. If he gave it over to his children who are minors, he is chayav. Ha livno lubito akdolim patur. If he gave it to his children of age, he would be patur. Michlau. Over here, it uses the possessive form of bno and bito. It just doesn't say ktanim and gdolim. And therefore, delacherim, when it comes to other parties, loshna gdolim, loshna ktanim, chayav. It's irrespective of their age, you would be chayav. Dim kain, because if you thought otherwise, litne ktanim stama, then you should have just written ktanim and gdolim. The fact that it writes specifically bno and bito shows you that the familial relationship is what's driving the chayuv and tur over here. And kamash malan or shmamina, when you give over property to an individual, you can expect him to give it over to his family members who are responsible, like his children who are of age or his wife. And that's not considered or deemed to be shomer, shemasad, shomer. Amar Rava, hilchata, the locha is shomer, shemasad, shomer, chayav, like the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, or according to the Gemara, it might even be the shita of Rav as well, but you are chayav. Lo mi baye shomer sachar shemasar leshomer chinam. I'm not only in the case where the shomer sachar gave it to a shomer chinam, the grui garo leshmirato, where he downgraded the quality of shmira and reduced the responsibilities in terms of compensation. Ela afilu shomer chinam shemasar leshomer sachar. Even in an instance where shomer chinam upgraded and gave it to a shomer sachar, he upgraded the quality of the shmira plus the owner will get paid in more cases. Nevertheless, chayav. My time up. What is the reasoning? Damalei at mehemet li bishvua. I trust you with a shvua. Heich lo mehemet li bishvua. The other party, I don't believe in a shvua. So over here you have Rava giving an alternative perspective as to the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Before Abaye said that the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan Shita is ein ritzoni she piktoni biyad acher. On the other hand, over here, Rava is claiming that the difference is, do you believe the person with the Shvua, or do you not believe the person with the Shvua? Nafkamina, Tosfot notes over here, is, in a case either where the Shomer Rishon can take a Shvua, for instance, the Shomer Rishon is present when whatever goes wrong with the second Shomer. So therefore, the first Shomer can take a Shvua. Over there, the Balim can't say, oh, I don't trust you with the Shvua, you gave it to him, of course you trust him with a Shvua. So over there, when he says, "Ein mitzoni shebikdoni biyad acher," you've still violated that. But as far as a shvua is concerned, the first party can take a shvua. Or, in an instance where you have edim, and you don't need a shvua. So according to the reasoning of "Ein mitzoni shebikdoni biyad acher v'abaye," that's still relevant. But, in terms of shvua, there's no relevance. There is no shvua in this case. So you can't make a claim, I don't trust the other party to the shvua. We don't need a shvua here. We have edim that are testifying. So Tosafot points out that there are nafkaminot between the reasons over here, and he says that Rava believes that this is the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan, v'chein alocha. The locha is like Rava, and not like Rabbeinu Hananel, who paskins like Abaye. And not like the Rabbeinu Hananel over here, who paskins like Abaye. If you look in the Rabbeinu Hananel, he says, v'hani mile, eichad yacholu meymar, at mehemet li b'shvua, heich lo mehemet li b'shvua. That's only a case, meaning that Rava brings down the halacha that's like Rabbi Yochanan, because of the issue of Shvua. Ve'im mitbarer diu nami avi mafkid gabei. If it becomes clear that you also deposited with this individual, then could go and masei de ginai, like the case of the ginai, like the gardeners that we brought before, ba'is afta with the older woman patur, then you would be patur. What Rabbeinu Chananel does is uses that qualification that we saw in Abaye's position, and he superimposes it on top of Rovo's position over here to say that it has application here as well. Person can make a claim of trust of Shua, not a trust of Shua, but that's qualified by the fact that whether you normally gave it over to this other party or not. Meaning that if you normally deposited with the other person, then you have no claim over here. We'll see later on that he also paskins like Abaye, and that's probably what Tosfot is referencing to over here. Now, what it means to trust the individual with Shua, is that an objective standard? Which seems to be the view of the Balei Tosafot. That we look at this objectively. If this is a person who's Naman Bishvua, and other people, or people in general, trust him with a Shvua, that might be sufficient grounds for us to say that you don't have a claim of Shomer Samasa or the Shomer. On the other hand, the Rosh indicates that it's not an objective standard, but rather a subjective standard. A person can say, irrespective of the Nemanut of the individual, I don't want a Shvua with this person. So, Tosfot says, if the other person is more trustworthy, and everybody thinks that they're more trustworthy, you can't make a claim that I trust the guy I put it with to take the Shvua, not this guy. That doesn't make sense. The other guy's more trustworthy, you should trust him objectively. The Rosh says it's not up to our objective standard, it's up to the person. The person can say, I believe this guy, I don't believe this guy, or this guy's Neman B'Shvua, this guy's not Neman B'Shvua, irrespective of their objective trustworthiness. Nevertheless, you get to make that claim of you're not believed with regards to a Shvua. Okay, now the Gemara says, Itmar, Poshaba ve'yatzati agam umeita kedarka. Case where he was negligent with the animal. He goes out into the grazing areas and then dies a natural death. Abaye mishmei de rabo amar chayav. Abaye, in the name of his Rebbe, Rabo, says you are chayav. Rovo mishmei de rabo amar patur. And Rovo, in the name of Rabo, who was also his Rebbe, says you are patur. Abaye mishmei de rabo amar chayav. Abaye says you are chayav in the name of Rabo. Kodaina de lo dayin ki aidina lav dayanu. Anybody who doesn't adjudicate a case in the manner that I'm saying is not classified as a dayan. Lo mi baye lamanda amar tchilato b'shia b'sofono is chayav. Irrespective of your position with regards to something that starts out as being negligent and the end is an ones, ends up being something that is unforeseen, and you believe you're chayav, of course there, in this instance, you would be chayav. Ela filo mandamar patur. Even according to the one who normally says by tchilato b'shia b'sof bonis, you are patur, hocha chayav. Over here he would say you are chayav, my taima, the reason being, damrinan havla da'agma katlo. The air quality in the grazing area is what caused or precipitated the death of the animal. So over here you have a difference between what's tchilato b'shia b'sof bonis, and that's what I discussed in the Tosafot before, which is, do you have proximate cause? And so, what Abaye says is that the normal situation of tchilato b'shia b'sof bonis is a case where the b'shia and the ones aren't necessarily connected. So over there, we say, are you chayav or are you patur? That's a machloka later on in the Masechta. Over here, we have proximate cause according to Abaye. Your b'shia is what precipitated the natural death of the animal. Because the claim is that had the animal been locked up, had the animal stayed where it was supposed to stay, it wouldn't have died because it wouldn't have been exposed to that bad air quality. The reason it died a natural death is because it was exposed to that bad air quality. So what Abaye says is that your pshia is the direct cause of the death of the animal. And therefore you're responsible, irrespective of your position with regards to tchilato b'shia v'sof bonus. On the other hand, Rabo believes, mishmei de rabo, patur. Kodaina de lo dayin ki aidina lav dayonu. And anybody who doesn't adjudicate like this is not a dayan. By the way, that since they're both saying this, does it mean that one of them is wrong or one of them is, quote-unquote, forgot what he had learned from Rabbah? The Gemara in other places in Shas indicates that maybe their opinions are not mutually exclusive, even though technically they cannot be reconciled, but it might be that they learned by Rabbah at different times and Rabbah changed his mind. So they're each quoting what they heard from Rabbah, and they believe what they're saying is correct, and from what they heard, it is correct. We just don't know which one was heard first or second, which one was the attraction of Rabbah or not. So it's possible that they're both telling the truth and nobody forgot anything, just that Rabbah changed his mind, and they're quoting Rabbah from different times when he had a different position. So now he says, any Dayan that doesn't do this is not a Dayan. Not only according to the one who says Tchileto B'Shiyav Sovanes is Patur, even according to the one who says you are Chayav, Hocha Patur. Over here he would agree you are Patur. My time, Damrinan, Malachamovit, Malihocha, Malihotam. Why does it make a difference if the Malachamovit is here or there? Now, obviously, if there's contributory variables, you can't say Malihocha, Malihotam. You can only say that where the death is precipitated by some internal sickness or illness of the animal, irrespective of the environment. And what Rova is telling us over here is that this animal that died, Meita Kidarka, would have died irrespective of the location. The Agam is an area where most people graze their animals. It's a normal place to graze animals. You can't make a claim of bad air quality there. You can only say that the animal had something wrong with it, and it would have died if it was locked up in your corral, and it would have died if it was out in the field. Since whatever happened to the animal has no connection to any events that took place or your negligence, everybody agrees you are patur. So in the case here, not only do you lack proximate cause, you don't even have an option to say that maybe your negligence had some impact on the scenario. Your negligence has no impact on the scenario because the problem that arose or the death that was precipitated had nothing to do with the environment, and therefore there's zero connection or correlation between the death of the animal and your pshia, and that's why you are patur irrespective of your position by tchilato b'shia b'sofa bonus. So now the Gemara says, Umode Abaye agrees, the hadra the bay mara umeta the patur. If it returns to the location of the owner and dies, then you are patur. My time, the hadrolo. And he brought it back, or he came back. The lekala meimar havladag makatlo. And you can no longer argue that the bad air quality in the grazing area is what caused the death. So what Abaye says is that only if it dies out there can you say that the precipitating cause was the bad air quality out there. If it already is brought back to, whether it's the Shomer's house or to the original owner's house, and then it dies, it's clear then that it was not the air quality that precipitated the death, but rather there was some fundamental problem with this animal that caused it to die. Obviously, you could argue that there was bad air quality, and therefore that precipitated the death later on. So when we're talking about bad air quality, it's probably in their day it's a little different than what we're talking about today. You know, here we're talking about bad air quality. You're talking about carcinogenous air that can really precipitate the death of the individual. Over there, when they talk about havla or bad air quality, it's something when you're in the presence of that air quality that it has an impact on you, which is it's difficult to breathe in those areas. The heat, the quality of the air will, if you're sick, maybe precipitate a bigger problem. But once you've left that area and you get back to the fresh air, then it no longer has any impact on you. It doesn't have a residual effect. That's what you have to say here, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense what he's saying. Modi Rova, Koecha Dignava Ganav, Be'agam, Umeita Kedarka, Be'ganav, Chayav. And even Rova agrees that if the animal was stolen from the grazing area, and then it dies a natural death in the house of the Ganav, that you are Chayav. Remember, Rova says, Malachamavit, Malihocha, Malihotam. So if it dies a natural death in the house of the Ganav, why should you be Chayav? It would have died if you were in your corral. It would have died in the house of the Ganav. But here you don't get an exemption, my taima. What's the reason? The Ishavka Malachamavit Bebeite the Ganva Havakaima. Because even if the Malachamavit left it alone, it still wouldn't be with you. It would be in the house of the Ganav. So the problem is that the animal is now out of your possession. And that's the problem. It was stolen. And your pshia is the direct cause for it being stolen. You did not have it in your corral. It was out in the grazing area. That gave the ganavim access to the animal. It was stolen. Yes, it died in the end a natural death. But you can't make a claim now, well, it would have died in your house, my house, or the ganav's house, so why should I be responsible? Because if the animal had survived, it still wouldn't be in your possession. It would be in the house of the ganav. So Just because it died a natural death doesn't change the facts that it's in the Ganav's house. And so had it not died, you still wouldn't have it and you'd be responsible for it. Therefore, you're responsible for it because you are, in essence, the proximate cause of the loss of this animal. Whether it dies or it stays in the house of Ganav, in either case, it's not in your possession and you're responsible for it. So Amar Lei Abaye L'Rovo. So now Abaye challenges Rav and says, L'didach Tamar T'malach HaMavet Maliach HaMaliotam. Your claim that says that natural death makes no difference where it happens. Hai the Otvei Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel the Rabbi Ami. That question that Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel asked Rabbi Ami. And then B'shani Lei. And then he answered him, B'shanat Nulo Balim Rishut Ashil. It was a situation in which the Balim gave him a right to lend it out. Balei Malei, why doesn't he just say to him, Malach HaMavet, Malihocha, Malihotam? Why doesn't he just say, what's the difference as to where he dies? Remember that they asked from our Mishnah, Sucher Parah Mecheberu Bishilel Acher, Umeita Kidarka, it died a natural death. And the Gemara wants to know, why in that instance, isn't there a problem, O Shomer Shemasa the Shomer, and you should be Chayav? The answer, according to you, Rava, should have been, even if Shomer Shemasa the Shomer is Chayav, there is a case where it died a natural death. It would have died in the hands of the first Shomer, would have died in the hands of the second Shomer. So it should be irrelevant as to the fact that it's Shomer Shemasa the Shomer is quote-unquote Chayav, because you can make the claim of Malach HaMavet, Malihocha, Malihotam. Why did he not answer that as the answer to the problem in the Mishnah, and rather gave an answer, which is it's a case where the Balim gave permission to the Socher to lend it out. So he wasn't in violation of his Mira contract with this individual. So why didn't he just give your answer? Amalei. So Rava responds to him and says, L'didchu. You remember, Abaye and Rava are arguing here in this case of Pshia and then Meita Kidarka. They also argued about the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's position. Abaye said that Rabbi Yochanan's position is Ein Mitzoni Shei Pektoni Biyaracher. Rava's position is that Rabbi Yochanan is based on I don't trust the other guy with a Shavua. So he says, L'didchu de Matnitu. For you explain Rabbi Yochanan's position of Shomer Shemasad Shomer's Chayav is Ein Ritzoni Shepikdini Biyaracher. Then Ika LaOtva LaHahi. That question is a relevant question because it went from the Socher to the Shoel, Shomer Shemasad Shomer, and the Balim can say, "I don't want it in the hands of the Shoel." Ein Ritzoni Shepikdini Biyaracher, and that's why there's a question on the Mishnah that they have to address. Lididi, but Rava says, according to me, Daminan Ant Mehemet LiBishvua Eich Lo Mehemet LiBishvua. The reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's position, Shomer Shemasad Shomer Chayav, is because of the Shvua, Lekalot Vaklal. The question never gets off the ground. Because, in the end, the way our Mishnah is structured, is the Socher takes a Shvua to the Balim. So, in the end, the Socher is the one who's taking the Shvua. And the Balim can't claim, I don't trust your Shvua, because he rented it out to the Socher in the first place. So he believes the Shvua. The Shoel being involved here doesn't involve a Shvua that goes to the Balim. The Shvua is taken by the Socher. So in that case, there's no problem in our Mishnah for me of Shomer Shemasa the Shomer. And if I don't even go down the path, that whole question of Rabbi Abba Mar Malmel that asked Rabbi Ami is all premised on a mistaken assumption that Rabbi Yochanan's position is Ein Ritzoni Shebabdini Biyadacher. I don't believe that's the reason. I believe that the reason is At lo mehemet li b'shvua. If that's the case, our Mishnah is no longer a question on the position of Shomer Masur Meshomer is Chayav. Meitiv Ramei Bar Chama. He'ala the roshei tzukim. He took it up to the high peaks of the mountain. V'nafla. And it falls. Ein zeonis v'chayav. That is negligence. And of course, you're going to be Chayav because you took the animal to a place where you could have anticipated that it would fall and they would have trouble with its footing up there. Ha meita kidarka. What happens if it just expires at the top of the mountain? Hariz onis upator. That's an onis and you are a pator. Vamai. Lemele avira dahar katlo. Why don't you say that the air quality up on the mountain, the thin atmospheric air up there is what caused or precipitated the death? Oh, inami. Uptzana dahar katlo. The exertion of having to climb this steep mountain is what precipitated the death. And so why do you say there that by onis you are patur? Hachamayiskinan shehela lemir'eh shamein vitov. He took it up there because there was good grazing up there. Meaning that this was a normal place or destination for people to take their animals to graze. So he's not considered to be someone who is negligent now because people would expect you to take the animal to this location in order to graze. Mar says, Ihochi, if that's the case, nafla nami, why when it falls are you responsible? Meaning that this is a normal place to take the animal, then knowing that, then we know that there's a possibility the animal might fall, but that's all within the normal purview of what happens in these locations. So why should you consider being negligent over here because it fell off the mountain? The guy says, Shalelo lo tokfa, velo tokfa. He should have held it tighter. He should have kept a shorter leash up there. And he didn't. So his negligence is how he dealt with the animal in that situation. Not the fact that he brought it to that location, but rather that he didn't take care of the animal in that location. Iochi, if that's the case, emaresha. What are you going to do with the earlier part of this? Altal roshi tukim, it went by itself up to these heights. Vinafla, and then it fell. Aizones. That is an ones because you couldn't control the situation. It ran away and ran up there. It took itself up there and then it fell by itself. You had no intervention in it. It's an unforeseen, or you were not the negligent party over here. And therefore you are patur. Why? Shouldn't you have kept a shorter leash on the animal? How did the animal get up there in the first place if you were holding on to it tight and you didn't let it run up by itself or go to that location in a manner that would have fallen? Where it says, Latzvicha, Shetakfato v'alta, takfato v'yarda. You did have it on a leash, but as you see many times with dog owners, the dog is walking the owner and not the owner walking the dog. So over here, the animal was walking the shomer and not the shomer walking. The animal was overpowering him. So he did have a leash on it, but he was overpowering him and he was pulling him up and pulling him down. And that's why he is patur, because he did what was in his power to do over here, but it just overpowered him and it took him up the hill too fast or came down too fast. Or you could argue that on the way down, he gave more leash because the owner saw that the animal was overpowering him and he was afraid the animal would take him down with the animal. So he had to give him more leash and that caused the problem. But the shomer couldn't have done any more than he was already doing without risking his own life. And therefore, that's why you are patur in that case. Just Tosfot over here notes that the question of this braita really is focused on Abaye and not on Rova. He says Rova could deal with this question over here, Malach HaMavet, Mali Hocha, Mali Hotam, because of the fact that by Meta Kidarka, you are patur, because that's an ones. That's exactly what Rova says. That even technically, if you're a Posheya for bringing him up there, if it dies a natural death, and there's no proximate cause that your Pshia contributed to the death of the animal, then you say, Malach HaMavet, Mali Hocha, Mali Hotam. So Rova doesn't have an issue with this Braita saying that when you're at the top of the mountain and it expires, you're patur, because that's an ones. But Rabaye has a problem with that, because Rabaye says that we look at location, even if it's not necessarily true, we say maybe the location contributed to the problem. And just like by the Agam, he says Avira, the Agam caused the problem, he should say the same thing by the mountain, the Avira caused the problem and it died there. And therefore it's a question in Rabaye that Rabaye has to address in the Gemara now, why is it that when it dies, Kedarka, you are Patur, if we say that there's a difference? Different locations cause different outcomes, and therefore you should be responsible in this case. And therefore the question, according to Tosfos, is really directed at Abaye and not directed at Rova. Now, the Rabbeinu Chananel says here, Vava gav damar Rova kol dayan delo dayan kavati lav dayanuhu. Even though he says that any dayan that doesn't say this is not a dayan, late hilchata kavate. The locha is not like him. The sugi and the shmaita kulike Abaye stahu salka. Because the whole sugi here seems to follow the position of Abaye, or deal with Abaye. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Chananel here paskins that the halacha should be like Abaye, not like Rova. On the other hand, we saw before that the Tosafot favors heavily the position of Rova with regards to the explanation of Shomer, Shemasa the Shomer, which might also have a contributing factor here in this sugya, because we saw the way that Rova answered Abaye was by differentiating in their positions with regards to Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning in Shomer, Shemasa the Shomer. And therefore, if you paskin like Rova as to the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan in Shomer Shemasa the Shomer, you also most likely would paskin like Rova in this instance as well, because that's how he answers the problems that are associated with his position in this case. And therefore, you would believe that Tosfot who paskin like Rova before would also paskin like Rova here. And vice versa, the Rabbeinu Chananel who paskins like Abaye over here would paskin like Abaye before. And that's what Tosfot noted, that he paskins like Abaye. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, locha Rabbi Yossi. The locha is like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, who said that, how can it be that this individual is doing business with someone else's property? How is it that Shmuel is paying the socher and the socher is making money and the socher takes the Shmuel and the Balim get nothing? It was the Balim's cow. Meantime, the socher ends up with money and the Balim end up with nothing. That doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel says the locha is like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Lei Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda's son Shmuel says to his father, Rav Yehuda, Amart Lan Mishmei to Shmuel, Chaluk Haya Rav Yossi Af Birishona. You said to us that Rav Yossi not only argues on this Mishnah, but he also argues on the first Mishnah in the Perek. The first Mishnah in the Perek, we had the din that if the Shomer pays for the item, then he gets the right to the Kefel. So now, according to Rabbi Yossi, that's a similar type scenario. The Shomer pays for it, and then he gets the benefits that otherwise belong to the Baal. He's getting Kefel, and the Baal is only getting back his Karen. Why should he be the beneficiary of the Baal's property? So what Rabbi Yehuda said is that Rabbi Yossi argues, even in that case as well. He argues on the first Mishnah. So he says, when you told us that Alocha Kamoto, ain't Alocha Kamoto. Is the Alocha like Rabbi Yossi in the first Mishnah as well? Are only in the second Mishnah. Samalei, Chalukaya Rabbi Yossi aparishona, Valacha Kamoto aparishona. They argued on the first case, and Alocha is like him in the first case. Itmar Nami, we have a similar memra. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Chalukaya Rabbi Yossi aparishona, Valacha Kamoto aparishona. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Modeaya Rabbi Yossi aparishona, Shekvar Shileim. Rabbi Yossi agrees in the first Mishnah that the Alocha is like the Chachamim over there, because he paid. I mean, that Rabbi Yossi's objection in our Mishnah is that the Balim end up with nothing, and the Socher ends up with all the money. He ends up with the value of the para, and the Balim get nothing. In the first Mishnah, the Balim get compensated. They are repaid for their Karen. So in that case, Rabbi Yossi says that he's not doing business with someone else's property. He took care of that. He basically bought the rights to the Kefel, and he paid the individual for it. Mar says, Shileim in, lo Shileim lo. The way that Rabbi Yochanan is phrasing over here, it sounds only when he paid for it is that true. But if he didn't pay for it, it's not. V'amar Rabbi Chir v'avamar Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't we have a memra in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Lo shileim shileim mamash. That first mishnah is not when he paid for certain. Alkeimen shalamar arini mishaleim. Once he agrees to pay for it, afal pi shelo shileim. Even he didn't pay for it. So now you have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. There Rabbi Yochanan says just committing to pay is enough. Over here he's saying if you pay, it works. So ema mode. Haya Rabbi Yossi amend the statement that we have here of Rabbi Yochanan, which is Yossi admits Berishona in the first Mishnah Shekvar Amar Harini Mishalim, because he already said I will pay for it. So we just correlate the two and say, just like in the Mishnah when it said Shilim, it really meant I commit to pay, not literally that he paid. So too, whether they actually change Rabbi Yochanan's position, or he's just quoting the Mishnah, and we do the same emendation that we do the Mishnah, which is Shilem doesn't mean literally he paid, but rather he agreed or intends to pay for it, and therefore we'll make Rabbi Yochanan's positions consistent, that number one, you only have to commit to pay in order to get the kefel, and number two is that the locha is like Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi agrees by that first Mishnah that that is not a problem of doing business with someone else's property because you paid for it. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph.